I would like to call to order the April 18, 2017, regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District. Lisa, please note the time and call the roll.
Okay, 7:14. Commissioner Brooks.
Present.
Commissioner Lerman.
Here.
Commissioner Unruh.
Here.
Commissioner Platnick.
Here.
President Gaines.
Here. This evening, consent agenda items A through C are routine. I would like to have a motion to approve those consent agenda items A through C.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
Okay.
No.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Unruh?
Here.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yep.
President Gaines?
Yes.
Okay.
It is our practice to invite the public to make comments, and we ask that you limit your comments to 3 inspirational minutes. Okay, no comments, then we're moving on.
Alrighty then.
Carol, did you want to bring us up to date on the public hearing for our budget?
Yes, I think first you have to actually declare the hearing open by law.
Okay. That's correct, thank you. I declare this public hearing open to discuss the BAO. Carol, would you please give a brief summary of the 2017-2018 budget and appropriation ordinance number 863?
Yes, so last board meeting you officially passed the working budget of the Park District. By law, we have to pass an official budget and appropriations ordinance that gets filed with Cook County Clerk's Office. That allows us to expend money. The levy in the winter, November, December, is to tax, to bring in the revenues. This budget and appropriation ordinance is to actually expend the money. So we started the process back in late January, have had several meetings on it, and this is the final culmination. Our overall total budget is a little over $12 million. The capital budget is much bigger this year due to all the Fund 69 projects that we've just been talking about. With Lakefront Park, that's a little over $3 million, and the remainder is the operational budget, a little over $9.2 million. So, again, this is the official document, and just to like to summarize that before you officially approve that, the next step on the agenda.
Carol, can I ask just a question?
Sure.
Some may be thinking about but are afraid to ask. What's the difference between a budget and appropriation? Why are those different numbers?
So a budget is what staff uses as the guideline that we can't really spend over, knowing that there are certain things that we've gone over. An appropriation is the legal limit that we can spend. So while we budget for the Fund 69 projects, we still have a little over $1 million in there that's there, but it's designated for future projects. I appropriate what's really in that fund should projects come up, such as a playground that might fail, such as if the board wanted to do Lakefront Park and it be more than budget. I would still, depending on how much it is, still go back and probably amend the budget to officially allow for that, but an appropriation is really the legal capacity in that fund to spend.
It's easy to understand with utilities. You know, like if the price of gas triples for some reason, you know, we're budgeting for, say, $1.95 a gallon, and then all of a sudden it's $3.50. We have to be able to absorb that cost somewhere without not buying gas.
Yeah.
Or if minimum wage.
Yes, yeah. If that changes.
So you always appropriate a little bit more for things that are really out of our control. But we stick to the budget. That's what we totally stick to as staff.
Okay.
Good question.
And then at this time, we also ask if any members from the public have a question specific to this BAO proposal. No? Okay. I declared this public hearing closed. Thank you. So at this time, we can move forward with the approval of Ordinance Number 863, the ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencoe Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1st, 2017. This budget and appropriation ordinance establishes the board's legal spending limits for various funds and line items within the annual budget. It does not reflect the board's intention to spend, only its capacity to spend. The annual budget remains the financial tool which guides the district, to which the board holds the staff accountable. So that's a further answer to your question. I would, you have Seth
that's
here.
It should be you, sorry.
So I'm gonna look at Seth as I'm saying
you
this.
You could totally
though.
Do that.
I'm gonna look at Seth as I'm saying this. I would like to hear a motion to approve ordinance number 863.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay.
We had two. Seth got it though first.
Yeah, he did.
Are you second?
Yeah,
okay.
Second.
Nice try. roll call?
Yes, please.
Okay. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
All right.
And then as long as we have Carol on the hot seat, we can ask her how things are going 1 month into the year.
Sure. It's kind of early. We've only been, as you mentioned, 1 month into the new fiscal year. It's a little early to tell with each open sales, cash sales at this point. There's nothing jumping out. We did have 3 payrolls in the month of March, so some of our expenses, if you do a comparison to prior years, especially last year, because there weren't 3 payrolls in March, could skew the numbers a little bit, but as of April, it should have a better comparison, apples to apples. Nothing jumping out at this point.
Okay, thank you. And then we'll move on with the other staff reports. Is there anything from the business side of things, or you wrap that in there as well?
The audit will begin on Monday. Hopefully they'll be in and out. We're all prepared for them. So other than that, no, I do not have anything to add that's already in there.
Terrific.
I have to say, Carol and Liz really do an excellent job preparing for the audit. They every time they come in, they did some pre-work, and they're always excited to come to Glencoe Park District because of the how orderly everything is. They ask for a question, and they have information immediately there, so they do a phenomenal job with their audit. So I expect it to go smoothly, as usual.
Terrific. Mike, you feeling good?
Feeling great.
Okay, I saw you running through the Kleenex there.
I'm all right, yep.
Oh, good.
I have to say that actually it's actually a team effort, all these individuals here. We had Excalibur out to set up our pass credit card system at the beach, the internet, and the first dry run went very well. So the parks teams at our kiosk that we made last year have a whole removable tray with all the computer equipment on there deck so that we can put it away safely at night.
Wow.
So that was great work. They're so creative. Carol worked with Excalibur extensively to make sure that with the internet and Chris's guys dug the trenches last fall to get it up there. And then Carol's team with Larice and Mike and Bobby have been working very hard on getting that pass system up and going, how we communicate to the residents between passes and Aaron too, and instead of the token that we used to use. So it's been a great team effort. We're very excited. This project has been planned for about a year. It's no easy feat, but what we're going to accomplish this summer. But we think when residents and visitors to town can use their credit card, we can track what's happening at the beach. Will help us with staffing levels immensely. So we're very excited to have that data to move forward. So
all the initial reports are good in terms of for the user coming and taking their pictures has been easy. We got a lot of feedback of, oh, this is not as difficult as I thought it was going to be. So.
So when somebody comes and they go, boop, is their picture going to show up?
Their picture shows up. Yeah, it won't be on your pass, but their picture will show up on that kiosk.
Kind of like if you go to the Admirals Club, the United Club, that's the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So if you pass off your card now and someone comes through, we'll know that that's not really their card.
You don't look like
Andre. So.
Congratulations. That's great.
So we're very excited about that. It's no easy feat for that. So.
Okay.
I also want to quickly share, too, we had our children's circle re-enrollment for people who are eligible to continue in the program next year. And we had out of 48 kids who were in the program who weren't aging out, 44 of them renewed their spot. So 92% of the kids in children's circle are coming back again for next year. So that was a number we were really excited about as well. I wanted to share that with you.
Sure.
That
was a good
one. And they already filled those spots that were vacated with new people.
So
we have wait lists.
How big is the waiting list?
How big is it?
There's a couple kids in each room.
Yeah, very exciting. We are looking at ways we can expand that in the future.
Okay. That's an expensive ticket, isn't it?
So do we jump over to Chris now?
Now we can jump to Chris.
Well, it's an exciting time of the year where things are starting to turn green. I think as Seth pointed out, Berlin Field was a little bit yellower than everyone was expecting there for a bit. But the sod is starting to green up as we've seen the soil temperatures come up. We got our fertilizer application in our first mow of the season last week, so it was still in our contract, so we got that from the contractor. So staff is busy working at that site. In addition, our seasonal staff came on this week, so we've started activating tennis courts, getting the windscreens up. We've got lots going on. We're really squeezing everything in between rain days, so things are progressing very steadily at the beach. If you guys have seen, the new kayak racks have been installed. Been doing some nice work in the concession stand to prepare it for the new vendor. So all in all, it's been a very busy spring, but staff has really enjoyed, you know, the breaks in the weather that we've had. It's been unique in the sense that we go from like 3 days in a row that are 70 degrees to 30 degrees outside. So
that's, I just want to remind you that it's hard on the parks team this time of year because we get tons of calls going, why isn't this done? Why? It's been a very unusual spring where it's very warm and things do, you know, we have a small crew and they're going to get to all those projects that happen in the spring, and with the warm weather, people want them out faster, earlier, and we have had a lot of rain this spring, so you will see standing water. That's nothing new. We always have standing water in our parks. They're designed for that. They a lot of our parks are designed to hold water so they don't go to basements so they don't flood the streets. And we have, you know, clay-based soil, so it takes a little while to evaporate. So that's not changing in any of our parks. It's been like that for a while. So we had a lot of rain this spring, so you'll see some of that occurring. So
Cock Park sidewalk will be at some point when the weather gets a little warmer.
Yeah, you know, we had, you know, it's with the sod went up a little higher, but you're still going to see flooding in the bowl area because that's what it's designed for. We did not put drainage in that park.
Right.
Okay.
Chris, what is the schedule for reopening the beach steps?
Once the water is on in the beach house, we can commence masonry repairs. So
when the water is on?
Yeah, so we actually turn the water off at the beach.
No, I understand.
Easily.
Okay, I didn't realize
so
that.
So we're expecting repairs to be completed within 2 weeks.
Okay. Are you planning on changing the way you're blocking that off?
We are. I think we're moving away from, you know, letting people not use the stairs on their own honor and probably putting a barricade up. Because
I've been down there quite a bit, and people are literally throwing the cones over the wall onto the lower bluff.
Yeah.
Or tearing the tape down.
Really?
Yes. Constantly. Pretty much daily.
Daily.
Yeah.
So we're going to put more of
a... So we're going to do a barricade. Something that is not you know, permanent, but that's going to, you know...
Serious.
And we'll put signage up that say the stairs were open in 2 weeks. Aaron did a good job of that. As you know, people use that as a circuit for working out.
Yeah.
So I think they're willing to take the risk on the stairs, and so we'll put up a little more permanent.
And then did you have any success in meeting with or talking to Phil about resurrecting the barricade at the top of the Hazel ramp so that the president of the park district and other people on the ramp aren't run over by renegade ice cream men?
I did talk to Phil, and he's discussing with the staff about when it used to be, a gate, so we are in discussions on that.
Okay, very good.
As you know, we have our opening day for Melvin Berlin Park. It's been long in coming, so next Friday, not this Friday, but following Friday. So you'll see the fences go down probably next week at Berlin Park. Chris's team has been out there. They painted the GYS building today. They'll be adding some bushes, cleaning out bushes, taking away some things. So, you know, sprucing up the area. We did have some issues over the winter with some caps breaking with thaw, so that's covered. We don't have to pay for that. They're out there. So if you see some masonry work, the caps of the dugouts.
Precast stone. We had some concerns with ice bones off, and it was under warranty, and we were not paying for broken stuff. So.
Right.
Well,
so
will it happen again?
Yeah.
We changed the design.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And I don't know Mr. Hoyer.
So they came in and they're fixing that up. So if you see some masonry work, that's what's happening there. And it looks wonderful out there. So I was out there today looking at that.
Is there any formal thing the board is doing there or just kind of standing there?
You know what? Seth, because he was the president when the project started, will be making comments. So he'll take the lead on that one. Steve May also. We're still working on that script. The donor will be making a few remarks. The honoree, Melvin, who the park's being named after, will make a few remarks. We're going to have hot dogs, Cracker Jacks.
Should we all wear baseball uniforms? Do we have a Glencoe/Cubs baseball uniform?
We do have some. Staff have some. I didn't think about getting bored. We do have some baseball jerseys staff is wearing. But, so, we're not doing Cubs.
No, not Cubs.
Oh, absolutely no, not. No,
a baseball.
Staff is going to wear shirts.
Those three-quarter
sleeves.
Yeah.
That's what staff is going to wear that night.
Now, the striped outfits I have had nothing to do with baseball.
And then we're giving away kites because obviously the field is not just for baseball. The park is for, so we'll be giving away kites and having games out in the field. So it's a really big community celebration. We're excited about so.
Yeah, you're giving away all the secrets.
Secrets.
I'm sorry. No more secrets.
There will be a pre-
don't report on any of that. It's a secret.
Okay.
But
10,000 people will show up.
Free hot dogs, Cracker Jacks.
It's a secret.
We're excited, and there's a ball game. So make sure you wear your tennis shoes to play ball. So.
Excellent.
Sorry. Didn't know it's a secret. Jeez.
Well, you do now.
We just advertised it on the flyers.
We didn't advertise it.
Oh, we didn't. Oh, keep that quiet.
Yeah, we'll keep that quiet.
Aaron, what's doing
with your department?
We did pick off the first day of beach sales by giving away towels to everyone who came in that day, which was the first time we did that, and I thought it was pretty successful, as they also have to come in to buy the pass. So.
Excellent. And get their picture taken. And
yeah, people liked those free towels.
We also sold a whole bunch of passes at the Easter egg hunt, or the spring egg hunt.
Right.
Thank you.
So we sold passes for that, too. We did a great job. Bobby and the staff were there. So.
You guys are on.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Cross-promoting.
We also have some extended hours for various sales during other special events.
Yeah, you're getting good at cross-selling.
Yeah, very good at cross-selling.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then safety issues?
Safety, we're going good. There's nothing of note, right?
Well,
except the stairs that we're fixing.
Got some new AEDs.
Some new AEDs.
Good.
Yep. Mike says
the compact ones or
just the newer model fits in the same cases we have.
Okay.
It'll be standardized throughout the district.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, me?
Yeah, I
all right.
Think so.
Pretty much I went over a lot of this already, so I'm not going to. The staff is really gearing up for summer. Staff training is taking place, getting the parks ready, marketing. I know that Commissioner Underdunk was out at the spring egg hunt and saw, that. He was kind of jealous there wasn't an adult division. So we're going to work on that in the future.
Taken with the Easter bunny.
Yes. Oh. Did.
The spring bunny.
Our Western Aster bids are out. So we will approve those on May 2nd, which I already informed you. Other than that, this Friday is the NSSRA Shining Stars Banquet, in which our organization will get Partner of the Year. We're very excited about that. And I just like to reiterate again, is the one of the main reasons we are getting this is because of our front desk staff. They are phenomenal, and I actually
Craig Culp, front desk staff.
Yes, believe it or not, Craig Culp was. Well, I'm not. Of course, Craig Culp was out and talking to Rotary, and he said he shared a story that we house their after school program here 5 days a week. So that's another reason. But one day there was no school, and all the they serve. NSSRA, we're partnered with 13 other agencies, and all you imagine all the different school districts. So some days. There's school off for one, another. So there was no program that day, and a cab still dropped off this participant. So from all the school districts, they get here in various ways, some by cab, some by bus, school bus or whatever. And so the child was dropped off. It was all excited. It ran up to the program, and our front desk at Lauren and Autumn noticed immediately and said, whoa, you don't have program today. They called all the necessary people, just called NSSRA and said, hey, we have a participant here. They called the school. They kept that child entertained, and you know, felt comfortable, wasn't afraid, assured the parents that he was safe. So that just shows, that's just one example of how our staff goes above and beyond. And that wasn't their job at the front desk. They could easily just said, oh, well, what's he doing here? But they were very proactive, so they took that proactive step. And that's really what all of our staff does, to make sure that NSSRA feels like part of the family, because they are part of our staff, and their participants
Who's
are part
going
of our
to
family.
Banquet?
Carol and I are going.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm available if you need a third.
Oh, if you'd like.
If you haven't attended an NSSRA banquet or a Special Olympics banquet, they are a joyous event.
They are, really are.
It takes a big team to, you know, these Special Olympics participants all have multiple coaches each.
Yeah.
These are big teams, and you really become part of a very special family. When you work with these folks, and you get take so much away, and going to these banquets is just a joyous event.
Yeah,
it's really, really special.
It's not only words, but then it's dance for the participants and their families, and it's a great event. So
yeah, I've been a few times.
Yeah, it's great. We do have in our packet a resident to be approved for the Watts Advisory Group. We are looking for that. In addition, we are looking for Lakefront Advisory Committee members. Some of the committee members go off in July, so we'll be looking for new ones, and we'll probably be taking those applications till the end of June for approval at the July meeting. So look for that, and we'll make sure you have that, and it'll be, we'll
and
put it in
the next. And talk that up in the community, too.
Please do.
We're always looking for new input.
Word of mouth and people asking people in the committee works a lot better than, you know, anything else. So tell your neighbors. All right, that's all I have for that.
And then do I have a more complete thing for the action items? Is there anything else I need?
I don't think there's anything else you need, no.
Okay, great.
Do you want to do the Watts report now, or do you want to do the action items first?
No, let's get to the Watts report.
Okay, so we'll turn it over to Mike and Bobby.
Yep. All right, so yeah, myself and Bobby Collins will be presenting the Watts report for last season, which finished kind of in the middle of February. So we're going to go through staffing, marketing, facility upkeep, programming, figure skating hockey classes, open hockey, open skating, rentals, and then we'll take a look at some of the trends and statistical data that we've seen in some of the other reports. So in terms of staffing and training, I know it's hard to believe, but Bobby's only been here for a year, so this is his first rink season, so it was nice for him to get involved in the operation of that facility, kind of figure out the nuances of that and ice management in addition to, you know, his expertise, which is more of the beach side of things. He did a great job training up four assistant managers, putting a high emphasis on customer service, on following procedures, on driving the Zamboni safely and effectively. So he did a great job assembling a management team that he could depend on, working with Chris and his staff to make sure Zamboni training and driving was exceptional. No major accidents on the Zamboni this year, so Chris owes me a trip to Disney World. Additionally, like all seasonal staff, we take a lot of time in the preseason to train up staff on our expectations when it comes to everything from customer service to working the RecTrack point of sale system to safety, facility inspections, locking up, and all those types of things. So Bobby takes his staff through that. And then, you know, a signature of Bobby at this point has become the in-season adjustments. Adding staff where we need to, reducing staff where we need to, staying on budget in those areas. So that was something that Bobby did a great job on. In terms of ring marketing, Aaron, again, puts a lot of resources into making sure that all of our programs and all of our offerings at Watts are out there. But the big thing this year was the implementation of a dual reach monitor screen that was right above the counter when you walk in. It allowed us to adjust our weekly schedule on a daily basis. So let's say we didn't have public skating one day because of weather, we could just pop it right down off of there. Or the 2 weeks over the holidays when we add a lot more public skates, we could update that. Before, we were putting handwritten or, you know, computer typed up signs over the schedule, unprofessional look. So
which means we don't have to replace them every year either.
Right. So big credit to Bobby and Aaron for working on that and making that work. We also added some dry erase signage so that we can write up locker room assignments for everyone. Again, a much more professional look, gets customers to where they're going much more quickly. And then, of course, the usual promotion with the program guide, Glencoe Quarterly, our strong electronic presence with websites, emails, and social media. And then we just talked about cross-promotion earlier, but we really focused on if you've got a rink pass, are you signed up for our classes? If you're signed up for classes, do you know about our rental opportunities? So really working within, you know,
the email distribution list we have to try and cross-promote and, you know, upsell people who are already at POTS. So facility improvement-wise, a lot of cosmetic upgrades to the facility this year, including a new floor in the rec room, the blue rubberized floor, window replacement, lots of painting, new countertops for our Keurig machine. We rebuilt compressor one, which proved to be very efficient and very reliable throughout the entire year. Any kind of mechanical issue we had was usually a power controller related issue, not a machine related issue. We also replaced pressure relief valves that got us up to code compliance. And then the update on the cooling floor leak is that's been detected. We know the general area of it. And Chris and his folks are going to get going on that this off season to make sure that's ready to roll. So with that, I will turn it over to Bobby, and he will talk about classes and programs.
Great. So we did make some major changes with our skating classes this year. One of those changes was we moved from ISI to USFS, so we basically changed the curriculum. The idea was we were going to become more of a standardized to what the other rinks are doing in the area. We were the only ones really still using ISI. It made a big difference. Parents seemed to understand the curriculum and progression that the skaters would follow. It's much easier to see directionally, you know, there's more steps to go, and the names are a lot easier to understand. There was also major changes with no Kinderblades. So as you know, we have full day kindergarten this year in Glencoe. And one of our major programs at the rink was Kinderblades. So in the middle of the day, we would have a lot of those kindergarten students come over and skate for a couple of hours, so we lost all of that programming this year. Staff are looking to new ways to kind of target that age group, and some of the preschoolers that we have here at the Park District and other preschools around. One of the other major changes we had was we kind of came up with this concept of on-demand classes. We noticed that a lot of our participants have schedules that don't necessarily match our programs timings. So we worked with parents where we would say to them, if you can get six of your friends to tell us what time you want your program at, we will try to accommodate as best as possible. So we'd have set a minimum of six people, and we had three really successful classes, which actually drove significant revenue. We see this as a trend with all of our hockey and skating and also beach programming going forward. This is something we're going to explore to try and grow that skating class, as it's kind of been in decline for the last couple of years. Hockey classes was really, really on an upward trend this year. The Blackhawks being successful, Brad, our awesome hockey coach, Rachel, our other hockey coach, really have been driving that program, and we're seeing significant growth in that with people wanting to do it. Open shoot, a lot of kids there. If you go on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you get a lot of middle school kids, high school kids playing open shoot. It's really great to see. So that continues to grow. We partnered up with the Hawks for our Minor Hawks program and our One Goal affiliation, where we actually provide free equipment for skaters who might not necessarily want to go out and spend a couple hundred dollars on equipment, so they could give us a deposit, borrow the equipment for the season, and they get their deposit back at the end. They'd also receive a Black Hawks training jersey as well if they enrolled in the program. So it was obviously pretty successful with the skaters wanting to do that. We also had the traditional West and South School PE classes and skates throughout the year, which were hugely successful. A lot of parents, a lot of traffic driven to the rink early in the day when it's traditionally pretty quiet. Great to see a lot of those kids on the ice skating for PE. I don't know any other real community around here that's doing that, so it's really a unique opportunity for our residents. We also, this year, working with the Children's Circle teachers, we brought the Beluga class over there, a bunch of four-year-olds, including one of mine, and they skated every 2 weeks for half hour, 40 minutes, and it really drove a lot of those kids to take our skating classes. So we're starting them earlier, giving them an opportunity. Like I said earlier, there's not a lot of preschools that give the opportunity to get on the ice at that early an age.
I thought that was driving you to skate better than skating with your four-year-old. I saw you out there practicing.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little obsessed with hockey.
Right? Oh, good.
There's only one rink in Ireland, so we're the So I'm really enjoying it. So. Anyone who's ever seen me, I spent a lot of time skating. Our open skate drop-in hockey were continuing to grow this year. We offer a significant amount of time for open shoot and open skate compared to other neighborhood rinks. You can see from the table up there, a lot of them, like Highland Park or Winnetka, have big travel teams that consume a huge amount of their ice we've some of them were doubling the amount of public skate time to them on open shoot. And that's kind of our niche market compared to a lot of the rinks around here, where the community is actually using the rink versus the private teams, which Highland Park and Winnetka have those issues with. We're seeing increased revenue from passes compared to the previous years and admission. A lot of that was probably driven by our opening event, Black Ice Friday, which we ran this year, where a lot of people in the door decided to buy passes that weekend.
And that was right after the COC opening.
Cool. So it was a trifecta of events.
From a marketing perspective, it's interesting. Winnetka and Highland Park do not offer public skate. So if you're a resident of those two and you want to go and lace up and just skate, you're not part, there's no option to go to your...
Excuse me, they don't offer open hockey shoot. They offer some public skate.
Open hockey shoot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So no sticking pot.
See a lot of Highland Park and Winnetka.
We do. So we have a lot of Winnetka, a lot of Highland Park, a lot of western suburbs as well. They'll come to our open shoots.
Okay.
A lot. It's really hard. Ice time is in high demand at certain times of the day.
Okay. So Okay. That's cool.
We're also looking at options for combo passes, unlimited hockey passes. Just listening to the feedback from residents and our patrons. Trying to see how we can get people using the rink. The fixed costs are so high with ice rinks. Really have to generate people using the facility if you want to dent that big deficit that ice rinks have. Broom ball, that's kind of what our rink is known for. It's kind of an unwritten rule that you only really figure out when you spend time at the rink that everybody's very passionate about broom ball. It's just like, it's the Glencoe thing. It's not published anywhere. It's just people know to turn up to do it. So it's something we looked at over the winter break this year. We changed the schedule where we opened up an open broom bowl where people could come and play. Very successful. We'll look to build on that going forward, see if we can generate some usage through that and even revenue, hopefully, from people playing that. Maybe look at some leagues. I know some of the other rinks west of here do that, so we might look at some of those options. Private ice and room rentals has kind of been in a decline for the last couple of years if you look at the revenue and usage figures. This year we were looking really good until the end of January, and then we had that unseasonably warm weather that we had to cancel a significant amount of private ice and room rentals as a result. We're looking at new ways to try to promote that. We are looking at off-season room rentals for Watts. I just actually had a 9-hour rental on Sunday, which is we didn't do in the past, so we're trying to see if we can generate some revenue when the facility is not being used in the spring, summer, and fall. Our ice prices are still relatively cheap to other rinks. We're in the kind of mid-200s to high-200s compared to 350, 400, depending on which rink you're going to. So we are still very, very competitive. Our room usage is also being used to other things than hockey and figure skating. We've got our dance, our theater, our comedy programs, our before and after school programs. Our Action Quest summer camp is there, based in there in the summer. So the facility is being used outside of the traditional ice rink season. We're also looking to book ice sooner. Last year we were booking ice in September. This year I've already started booking ice for the upcoming season. So we reached out to patrons who are long-term renters, reached out to other teams that are looking for ice, and they're actually bringing it to their board to see if they're going to look to take some of our consistent slots that might not be used by our residents. So we're looking to try and get as much ice booked in advance as possible so that when we get the calls in August, September, we'll know what ice we have rather than waiting for our traditional long-term renters to tell us. So pretty much every renter is confirmed, so we'll hopefully be able to book ice or continue to book ice the next month or so. Patron feedback, boots on the ground at the ice rink, everybody seemed to be very happy for the ice quality and the upgrades we made to the facility. We had a new assistant manager this year who worked in the AHL as a Zamboni driver, and he really kicked it up a notch in terms of ice quality.
He spoke hockey.
He did, and you knew he was the real deal when you talked to him. So all the hockey guys, they really couldn't complain about his ice too much. A lot of it was to do with the weather. So that was great. Staff seemed to be... The feedback was good for staff. The 95% of patrons thought the value of their skating pass was excellent. Classes, there was increased satisfaction and skill development. There was a slight decrease in instructional quality. There are kind of two thoughts on that. One is that our skating program has kind of structurally changed because we got rid of Kinder Blades, so that portion of skaters is no longer there. So that may have changed it. But also we started using student athletes to help Tony, our skating director, this year. So instead of having just the skating director help you, you might have had a student athlete help you. So that may have, so it'd be something we'll look at feedback-wise from parents. 92% of patrons' expectations were met or exceeded. I think overall, there was a lot of very happy people at Watts this year.
Bobby, is the west room, the fireplace room, mm-hmm. Closest to the street, is that air conditioned? I know it's heated.
I believe it is.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Temperature.
Are we still, 20 years ago, that was a very popular room for birthday parties year-round, and for other gatherings as well, but I was thinking primarily for the kids from South School, that was a very popular birthday party destination, very reasonable, mm-hmm. Pretty centrally located for the community as well. Is that still being marketed and offered?
Great question. So one of the things, obviously, both of us being new this year, the schedule we went off of was kind of based off last year, but a little bit of let's see what happens. And the things that we noticed was birthday parties on Saturdays and Sunday afternoons are in really high demand for kids aged kind of 3 to 10. And we really only had an opportunity to have one party a day. So we've already built the schedule for next year. We're going to structure it so we can do two parties a day, so that they can do 2 hours in the rec room, 1 hour on the ice. But the way we had it scheduled, you couldn't successfully do that every week. So we could see some serious growth there on Saturdays and Sundays for birthday parties. We also targeted a lot of the children's circle and our program participants to have their
birthday. I'm really referring to off-season when the ice rink is not open. Mm-hmm.
We do, and I get a lot of requests. I think in the past, it was quite, staffing levels was difficult. This year, we have a larger staff pool to pull from so we can do those type of parties. So I've got 3 or 4 booked in the next month or so. So I think that is something we will see now that we're more organized with our staffing pool.
Okay.
I think you also see, too, like you saw in the take-up report last month, Paul's doing a good job of promoting birthday parties here as well.
Okay.
And he's got those 15 different packages where you can do the, you know, the superhero party. So we're competing with ourselves a little bit there as well.
Oh, okay.
We're also more expensive at Watts for a birthday party for the room rental than the take-up center.
That wasn't an option for us really 20 years ago, mm-hmm. before this was done. So Watts was it. So that didn't occur to me. Thank mm-hmm. you.
So I'll wrap up here with some kind of financial information. So the things, again, like Bobby mentioned, that are kind of, we want to reverse the trends are skating classes, which mentioned due to Kinder Blades, and then ice rentals as well. And again, we talked about how we're going to try and combat that a little bit. Things we want to, that are growing, that we want to keep growing, are hockey classes. The drop-in hockey, and then we did again see a little uptick in pass sales this year, and we'd like to continue to promote the pass sale as well because it is a nice value and it does get people into the facility. The biggest issue that we had this year, we all took credit for the great weather at the beach while we got hammered at the rink this year. The biggest number here is 3 days last season we were closed for a full day. This year it was 16, the majority of those coming at the end of the season when it was 75 degrees in the middle of February.
So here's the question to pose. If weather patterns going forward are going to be less, possibly less favorable for us, we need to stay abreast of possible updates in technology that might allow us to have ice as the weather is less favorable.
Yeah, it'll be something interesting to monitor whether this is a trend or a blip. So just because we had 1 year, because I know last year we went all the way until the end of the year and we held pretty strong. So I don't think 1 year is enough to sound an alarm. But you're right, if we see 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
In the short term, they're all blips. You really have to look back 25 years to get an idea if there's a trend or 100 years. So, but if there's any changes in technology, if we see we're only having problems at one area, you know, is there anything that can be done to that one area to either increase shade for that one area mm-hmm. or something?
Definitely. And I know Chris's work with his guys of building up the compressors and rebuilding compressors and making our system more efficient and more dependable will help with that as well.
And I can probably sound off on that. I mean, a number of years ago, we were struggling with keeping all three pieces of equipment running. So that's That 16 days, had we had one compressor or two compressors, that would have been probably closer to 23 to 25 days.
Sure.
So the fact, I mean, our equipment is modern in the sense that it is up to date for the application that we're in. I mean, the more efficient equipment that's out there is more energy efficient. It's not necessarily more efficient in 75 degree weather. I think really the equipment we have and the controls, you know, full sun, there's no ice rink equipment out there that's going to deal with full sun for a week or 2 weeks out there. So I think really it is shade, it's reflection. I mean, it's hard because any product that you're going to put down on that ice to try to reflect that heat off the ice is going to end up melted right into the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the past, I know staff has tried insulation. You know, there's been a lot of Rube Goldberg type ideas of netting and, you know, shades over the rink and that type of stuff. But the challenge of that is all that stuff gets full of snow and ends up on the ground. So I think sometimes we have to really understand, like Mike said, let's hope for a good year next year. But in a lot of ways, the facility is what it is until we really look at the whole operation, the facility in Glencoe and what it could be for us. But I don't know if that answers that question or
no. No, I get it.
Yeah, because we definitely, I mean, you can see in this chart up here, you know, if we just decide to close the doors 2 weeks earlier, we're going to miss out on a significant amount of revenue, which is what happened this year. You know, we were trending that top line, the lighter line, is this year, and the green line is last year. And you can see we started out really strong. We continued strong through February, and then between February and March, it just fell off the table with how much we had to refund for classes and for rentals. So, you know, we want to try and keep that season kind of consistent with how it's done in the past.
Our utility costs were pretty significant this year with the temperatures, too, because our compressor's running nonstop. Versus, you know, if it was 20 degrees.
So if it's January and it's 20 degrees outside, you have one piece of equipment running or even zero pieces running at night. So I think it's important even to remember, you know, Mike touched on it earlier, things like getting our pressure relief valves up to code. That's a once in a 10 or 15 year project that we're kind of working our way through some of those gremlins there in that compressor room. And I think, you know, once we've gotten to the end of that, I expect to see a significant savings in not having to continually spend that money year after year that we've seen in this particular year. We're building compressors, those types of things. Those are once every 7 years, once every 10 years, and we're kind of just catching up on, you know, not necessarily having a metered approach with that in the past. So.
Okay.
You were talking earlier about our pricing situation.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes time to review budget items for next year, do you think you'll be suggesting some increases?
Yeah, I think we want to look at that. I think, again, I don't think going from 0 to 60 is the right approach, but maybe a tiered approach, kind of like we discussed with the beach, might be something we want to have a discussion about.
I know that I think I was out cycling around someplace, and I think I went to Niles. They have a structure over there. I don't know. You know, are those awesomely expensive? I couldn't figure out what it was kind of roof it had.
Yeah, just coming off the discussion about Lakefront Park, that would be a very different discussion. To put a roof over that would be probably as expensive, I guess.
That would be in the millions.
And the neighbors would just love it.
Nice warehouse cooking structure. Yeah.
I was in Park City, and they have, just weird, all year round an ice rink operating right next to this hotel. And we were sitting having lunch, and it was super warm outside, and there's an ice rink. And they had a thing over it that was very cool, a pulley system with these sort of draped things. I don't know. I have a picture of it. I'll show it to you. But it was very cool. Possibly some of the adult male hockey guys that hang out there a lot, who may or may not have deep pockets, maybe there would be an opportunity for raising funds if we figure out what this thing is. And maybe they would be interested in contributing to something.
I think we should take a trip and investigate and look at that in Park City. But I think we need to go to the source where they did that first, and that was in Sun Valley.
Oh, it's Sun Valley.
It's not Park City. Yeah, I've been there. I've skated there in Sun Valley.
Yeah, you know what then, with those with that. It's
right, it's
cool
not Park City.
Yeah, sorry, okay, Sun Valley. But you know what I'm talking about. And then lastly, a quick question. Do we have same rates for residents and non-residents at Watson? Is that something you're looking into?
We don't. We have some non-residents. It depends on what type of thing you're doing. Daily admission is just everybody, right?
Correct. So room rentals, ice rentals is resident, non-resident prices.
Okay.
But for daily admission, skate rentals, it's one rate.
Okay.
traditionally public skate and passes are 90%+ residents. There's very few non-residents.
Okay.
Because there's a free outdoor rink at Winnetka. Although the ice quality is not what they want, they're having some issues with it. But a significant amount of residents use the rink.
Thank you.
Is it on other rinks in the area? Do they charge a resident, non-resident fee?
They don't know. It's pretty standard in the ice rink industry because we're all so close together. Every community that Glencoe touches has an ice rink, that there's usually no difference between residents and non-residents, at least for daily admissions and passes. Any other questions?
Mike, just to reiterate, actually know a lot about hockey and skating. I've been around it for a long time now. But if there is a way, long term, to add another month to keep Watts open, I think the community would really welcome it and just keep your eyes open. It's not something for tomorrow, but if you look at the crown jewels in this community, the first one that comes out obviously is the beach and the lakefront. The second one is up in Watts. And what you hear from residents is, geez, you know, it's open December, January, and then it closes, you know, late February. And March is still part of winter for a lot of people. It'd be great, you know, if we could finally keep it open throughout March.
Great. Thank you. All right.
Terrific. Thank you.
Any other questions? Nice job. They did a phenomenal job with all the challenges with the weather, so. Thank you. It was a total team approach. So
here's to a great beach season.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah.
He says to switch it, you know. Switch to non-frozen ice water.
It's all water, baby.
It's all water.
Yes. So now we move on to the action items.
That's correct.
And there are quite a few.
There are.
See, I'm not familiar with this. That's why I was asking.
Okay. Yeah.
We have a post-issuance tax compliance report that we're being asked to vote on. Has everyone memorized that report? Do we have any further discussion on it?
Carol, do you want to say anything?
Each year, we have to look at how we utilize the space because it's a bond that we sold. There's certain tax advantages for people that they don't have to pay taxes on it, and so we have to make sure that we're complying with the IRS regulations on.
So this has to do with our arrangements with groups like GGK.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. And so because our initial issue was they were 501c3 bonds, so our primary component users outside of the park district are obviously GGK, and the amount of space that they use. We had to sell 501c3 bonds to kind of keep that. A possibility within the ticket center.
So I'm just curious, so who would be the holders of our tax-exempt bonds?
I actually don't know. We have a paying agent that...
just some out there, because we didn't use that other agent that sells it to the community. We're not, like, marketing to the...
Yeah, I don't know who...
It's very hard to get our bonds. Our bonds are in extreme high demand. I have tried, before I ever got involved with Glencoe, and... Yeah. You have to be going to the well regularly in order for the agencies that are coordinating those sales.
It's even institutional versus...
Right, it's institutional and ours are very desirable.
The financing issue, there was one group that wanted to market it to the community, but they were more expensive anyway, so you pay for it being more accessible, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this review, though, is to look at how we use the building and to make sure we're in compliance with the regulations per IRS.
So a checkbox when somebody says tax exempt, yes.
Yes.
It goes to this thing and...
Correct.
It's something we do every year.
So the resolution is corresponding to kind of the format. We take a look at it every year, showing that we're doing our due diligence.
Okay. Well, I would entertain a motion then to approve the post-issuance tax compliant report as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yep.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
All right. Upon reviewing our ordinances, I discovered that our ethics ordinance was out of date and needed to be brought up to what the Illinois state statute was. So that's what this indicates.
Were there any changes by updating it and bringing it to compliance?
Yes, it was changed to the Illinois State Code, so there was changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
A question, that was just those underlying areas, right? It wasn't the whole...
No, just as you saw in there, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
This is for us to be compliant with
the state. With the state law, yes.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 864, amending the Glencoe Park District Ethics Ordinance as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Second. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yep.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
Okay.
And we recently had our committee meeting on the fitness center and incorporating in that because of the outcome of the wonderful budgeting that was done, the ability to have a second shower room, bathroom there. So I would entertain a motion to approve the fitness area remodeling plan, including the second shower area, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Wow.
Just a quick discussion, just comment.
Okay.
And this is good stuff. I was not at the meeting, I apologize. But I saw the plan, I thought it was phenomenal. I really want to commend staff putting together such a interesting, well-balanced, comprehensive plan. It looks attractive, the two showers, a nice balance between cardio and strength. I look forward to being one of the first members of that. I know I've already canceled any auto-renew at the Highland Park Fitness Center, and I'd like to say for anybody of my compatriots in Glencoe who have been haranguing me for 6 years about where's your fitness center, so whatever fitness center you belong to now, whether it's Lifetime or Renick Community House or LA Fitness or Equinox or whatever, turn off that auto-renew, come home to Glencoe, we welcome you, this is going to be your fitness area, so look very forward to that. Thank you very much for putting this great program together.
Thank very you. Nice commercial, thank you.
Roll call now.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes. And the second part of this would be entertaining a motion to purchase the Precor fitness equipment that was discussed on the attached proposal for $99,371.98 as presented.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, sorry.
And vote.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes. And I'm thrilled to ask you to entertain a motion to approve Gene Shin Cooper as a new Watts Advisory Group member as presented. I need...
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes.
All right.
And we've had some discussion, and we're aware that we are going to be redoing the floor at Watts. So I entertain a motion to approve the NGPA quote from Becker Arena Products for $66,385 for removal of the existing flooring, and installation of new rubber flooring at the Watts Center as presented. Thank you. And a second?
All right. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick?
Yes.
President Gaines?
Yes. And do we have other business?
We have no need to go in the executive session.
Great. Terrific. I had one other comment I wanted to make. We made mention that we will be revisiting our master plan. Most of us should have a copy of that. If you don't, please talk to Jenny
Lisa.
It's also online. Let's refresh ourselves with that a bit. I'm thrilled that we're expanding the scope of what we're looking at with the beach and the bluff and that with coming up with the possibility of investigating the bluff. I'm very happy that we're looking at the site plan for the Takeoff Center instead of just throwing more parking spaces and painting yellow lines out there. So let's look at the master plan and see how all these pieces fit in the puzzle that's Glencoe Recreation.
It's fortunate you brought that up. Our staff is going to be doing a presentation to the Plan Commission about the Fancy Clam at their next meeting of the Plan Commission. I believe that's next Wednesday.
I believe so, yeah.
And is
public invited? Is public
invited? Open meetings.
That's next Wednesday.
I believe it's next 26 at 7 p.m.
Efforts to coordinate what we're doing with the village. And this was at the request of Chairman Thomas of the Planning Commission and our
you
executive director.
The 26th?
She hasn't officially sent anything to me, but that's what Commissioner Underdog said. So I assume it's the 26th at 7 o'clock?
Could you have staff send invitations to us in case we want to attend? I think it would be very nice to give us the opportunity to do that and to hear the Plan Commission's input into their thinking around our plan as well.
I will reach out to her and make sure that's still on the docket because I haven't got anything official from her. And then I will send it out once I'm confirmed.
Once we know it's on the docket.
Perfect.
Excellent. Very nice.
If it's not on the docket.
Yeah. I've been waiting.
I would entertain a motion. Pardon me?
Oh, they got back to me.
Oh,
thank you.
If there's no other business to bring up at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right.